All right, so as I said, we're really glad everyone's here today. We've got some new faces, we've got some old friends coming and joining with us today. And so what we thought we would do for our time in service, we thought we would like to just open up the service time here, just for an opportunity for people, if you like, to kind of just share a little bit, perhaps, you know, some stories, you know, some funny stories or memories that you have having, you know, been, some of us I know have grown up in this church. This church has meant a lot to you. And we wanted to give this opportunity for people to kind of just voice some of your thoughts, some of your hopes, some of your dreams as we move forward to the new site. And so we want to just give this open mic time to anybody who'd like to come and share. Now, I do have people planned too, so if we go for too long in silence, I will call on those people to come forward and share with us some stories. So, yeah. Anyone? You know, I'll be honest. I'm actually very thankful to Pursuit Grace. I was saying this to the prayer meeting group on Tuesday. When I was candidating or beginning my ministry, I know I had obviously looked around at different churches and things like that, and then you know, it didn't work out. And then one day I get this call from Pastor Mike at the time, and you know, he was going to call me on to come here and join him on staff for a year at Pacific Grace. And I thought, you know, that is so awesome. I had just written a paper for one of my courses on the history of Pacific Grace. And so it was so neat to be able to actually come and serve at the Pacific Grace. You know, like, I mean, this is a big deal, you know? Like, you know, there's, of course, Burnaby is awesome and Paul Moody is awesome too. But there's something about the fact that for a first ministry to come back to the very first church that started it all, it's a big deal. So I'm very thankful for my time here and it's just been it's been awesome, you know. So good memories for at this place. Okay, so I've gone. So someone else is to come forward now. All right.
Actually, I knew this was going to happen because I was supposed to start at 10:30 at Walmart today. And I prayed about it and went to my SWAS manager yesterday. And I said, you know, this church means a lot to me. And it's the last day here, and I want to come back. First she said she couldn't do it. So I said, oh, okay. So I thought, okay, God, I tried. And then she said, okay, you could go. Just start too. I said, oh, thank you, God. I knew that was going to happen. Like I said, it's 48 years, because I'm 51, in September 25th. So that's minus 3, makes me 48, when I was at first at this church. And first of all, I didn't know the reason why God laid Dave off. But now I know, because this last day at this church, and he did bring me to church and remember all the memories here. Like I said, I was 3 years old when I came to this church with Sue Neufeld, Reverend Clausen, Henry Clausen. And I remember when I came to this church, I was downstairs, and I didn't like it. And I was so close to home that somebody opened the door, one of the back doors down there, opened the door, and I snuck out, and I ran home. And, of course, being a three-year-old, you don't want a three-year-old running around the streets. So they came after me. And I remember I locked myself in the bathroom and wouldn't come out. And my dad said, come on out. You don't have to go. But, you know, so I did, but he lied. So that wasn't very good, but Aunt Sue was there, and she said to me, come back. And I said, no, I don't like it. She goes, just come back this Sunday. See if you like it or not. If you don't, you can stay home next Sunday. I said, okay. You know, at least someone lied to me already. But I thought, okay, I'll go. So I tagged along back, came back to church, and she asked me if I liked the color. And I said, yeah, I love the color. So, of course, I start coloring. One piece of paper, start coloring. And then she said, when you're done, come to me. So I thought, okay, so I'm finished. Nicely done, I guess, for a three-year-old. I don't remember what it was like, but... And then she said, do you like coloring? Yeah. Do you want to color more? Yeah. Come back next Sunday. And I thought, oh, okay. So, of course, next Sunday come along, looking forward to coloring again. So I came back. And like I said, this church really brought a lot of memories for me. From a three-year-old, I guess about, that was in my teens. And this church got more Chinese people, because we're basically Chinese. It was an English congregation to Chinese, because my parents started this church. And then as it grew, like I said, all the English side basically drifted away, went to another church. And my mom's still in this church. And like I said, everybody here, basically I remember they were really high. Benedetta, Grace, and I remember Snae, Cheyenne, Chris, Anna, their cubbies when I was a leader here. Like I said, it brings a lot of memories. As for bad memories, probably I can't even think of any. Like I said, you know, the only time probably is like when we left the church and haven't come back, and my parents were here, and they went to Burnaby Church. They have their new church now too, which is within walking distance. So like everyone here, like I said, I remember when I was young, in my teenager years as well. So like I said, everybody probably knows me as Auntie May. As on Facebook, I noticed what Reverend Xavier wrote about a new beginning. And I commented on it before I came to work today. And like I said, may God bless this new church for them, as the perfect name for them, a new beginning. And that they have a new beginning, new journey for this church. And even though it's sad to leave this church, but I know that God brought us to a new church, and that we'll have a new beginning, move on, and time to focus what He has planned for us. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So, anyone else like to share a story or memory or word of encouragement? Grace, why don't you come up? As I planned this already.
Good morning. I haven't been here for 48 years, but I've been here since I was a year and a half. I guess this church is very much tied to my memories of not just only my Christian family and my Christian journey, but also to my family's personal history. And so I take it with great pride that I am a part of this family. A lot of the memories, we sat on this red carpet. It used to be quite a bit redder, right? No dots in it. Couldn't hide the stains that accidentally showed up. I remember when this church was so full, it was standing room only. I remember when we used to have Christmas plays and it was so full the kids couldn't sit in chairs or benches. We had to sit on the floor and watch. I remember being Mary and bossing the little sheep around. I remember all you guys growing up, many of you guys growing up and being part of the children's choir in the blue gowns. And then the blue gowns became the preschool graduation gowns. And it's not just a building. It's many of the people that have come through. Many of our leaders. Alan Chow was I would say the restart of this first English ministries again. Isaac, of course, Mike Sherman now. We've had, in 81, it was Enoch Wong, or Wong Moxie. And it's been a parade of many leaders that have been nurtured here, have grown here, and many who have gone on not just to ministerial positions, but on as leaders in other churches, in other communities. And we have had a lot of opportunities here. I think part of the opportunity is that we became church planters because this building could only get built the balcony, we built up the attic, and Pastor Joe of the New Beginnings said, you guys have used up every single inch of possible space there could be got and shoved it full of somebody or something. And I think that's true. We've used up every inch of legal space there is. And because of that, we became church planters. And you can look around the Lower Mainland and take, and I think it is a view with pride that we have been part of planting first Burnaby, and Burnaby begat Port Moody, South Vancouver begat Richmond, and also between the two of us, we managed to get North Shore in. This building sort of guided our direction of where we are growing. We are a church that starts with a lot of fellowship from very young. And part of that means that we all come together regardless of which area we are in, and we meet as a peer group so that we grow together. And that's why I think some of our friendships have lasted as long, because it wasn't about geographical distance. We all came together to meet together because we were important to one another. And I think that that's a trademark. That's something that we can be, that the friendships here have lasted a lot longer maybe than even the building will last. So lots of good memories of how we can continue to grow, and I look forward to seeing that growth there.
Thank you. Good heritage, good legacy. So yeah, a couple more minutes for anyone to share. I was thinking, Javier, you should come up, man. And you've been here for a while too. You want to stay back there or you want to come up? Yeah. Any other? Catherine, I see you hiding behind Eddie over there. You want to come up? Come on. All right. You can't hide. We see you.
Okay. Well, I haven't been here nearly as long as either one of them, but I have been here since I can remember, since I was, you know. I mean, I've had a lot of memories here as well. I remember when, like Grace was saying, the church was just packed full of people. Every service, you're rushing to get in and out. As a tiny little, you know, kid where you can only see about leg height, it's kind of dangerous. Get run over, but you manage. And I remember when the attic used to be this old, scary, cold place. I don't know how many of you guys remember that. It wasn't as nice as it is now. And you get lost playing in hide and seek. It's a really good hiding place, though. What else was there? Oh, the old, small wooden chairs. Those were always fun. Some of them are nice and pretty now. We tried. Yeah, there's just been lots of memories. I remember going to fellowship with my parents. There was lots of other kids, and I remember planning for Christmas. That was always fun, coming to watch the skits, although your leg would cramp up because you have to sit on the floor. What else? I don't know. This church has gone through a lot, through all the different church plantings, having to split with South Vancouver, and then having the other church build up and everything, but yeah, it's just been interesting seeing how this church has evolved and how, remember when you guys were like this big, so I'm feeling kind of old, but I mean, it's kind of nice having a small church because it does kind of give the church a different dynamic, but I'm looking forward to seeing how the new church grows and how we're going to add to the family, and yeah.
Thank you, Catherine. Anyone else want to share a story? I see fingers being pointed. Wilbur, you want to come on up?
I remember some of you. I can hold in my hand like this. And to share something with you, I held my daughter like this in my hand when she was a little baby, walking around in the streets. And what I want to share is, I came to this church. To me, it wasn't strange, but looking back, it was God's design. Because I had two churches I can choose from to attend. The Chinese one, and then there was an English one. I picked this one because I was thinking about my parents. They speak Chinese. They don't really speak much English. So I thought maybe one day they would accept Christ and they can come to church with me. One of them did, the other one didn't. But in any case, they didn't come to this church. But my family grew up here. And it brings a lot of memories, I guess, like me there. I didn't realize it. Just recently, I should say, I realized that I've known her since I immigrated to Canada. So we go way back. And I was kind of happy to see. When I came to this church, I see her here too. And yeah, I wanted to say also is it's the people that kept me here. Grace have said how we have like spread into different churches already. Every time I thought about should I leave or stay, and my thinking was, if I go too, then who's staying behind? I just thought, well, somebody has to stay behind for whatever is left behind here. So I chose to stay. But all through this year, I've seen and I've learned to grow in Christ from the people in here, and I'm still growing. So I'm looking forward to going to the new place because I personally felt that we're not serving this community. And I've had that feeling for like 10 years at least. So it's time to go and leave it for someone who can actually serve this better than us.
Thank you. Thank you, Wilbur. All right. Hansel, why don't you come up?
Hello, everybody. How should I start? I think the earliest recollection of me being here is probably in Sunday school, and I think Auntie Heather was my teacher, and I just remember those like little, those big kind of sheets of paper with the lines, and then someone had really painstakingly just wrote out every single word in very clear block letters for us to sing with, and I just going through all the Sunday school and all the Sunday school teachers I've had, and Awana leaders and commanders that have you know taken a role in leadership, and you know going through fellowship in my high school and elementary years, like Grace and Solomon, those were looking back, it's just I don't think that I would be here without any of them if any of them had not played the role that they had, and you know I just really thank God for that because, you know, you get to university and then all your friends, you don't think they're gonna go off and do whatever and walk away from their faith or, you know, but it does happen, and that's a really scary thing, and I'm just really thankful that God had placed those people in my life to give me a strong foundation over which to stand for everything that I've ever been through, and Yeah, and also it's really amazing to see, you know, the young people here, you know, growing up. It's like Catherine was saying, if she was able to see us when we were this small, then, you know, me now, I don't know how tall I was, but these kids were really, really young, and it's just really amazing seeing them grow up and, you know, starting to take leadership roles as well. And every time, like, when I'm doing children's worship or, doing whatever and helping out, it's just, I always remember what those leaders had done for me. Like, when I was young, I thought that they're really old and they're really experienced and stuff. No, not Grace, don't be offended. But I thought they had years of experience of teaching and whatnot, but they were just volunteering and just had a heart to, you know, show us children God's love. And I remember there was one time where Uncle Bill, like, my mom and him are really good friends, and he was like, "Hey, Hansel, why don't you, play for morning worship?" I'm like, "Are you crazy?" Because I remember sitting in worship and I didn't hear them make a single mistake. Like, I thought that it was like really technical RCM, like classical piano that you needed to know. And I was like, "Oh no, like I can't do that." But, you know, I'm really thankful for, you know, God putting me here. You know, there have been times where I'm like, especially in early high school, I was like going to other churches and seeing their youth rallies. I'm like, "Whoa, that's so cool. They've got really cool music." And at my church, it's really boring. We sit in the pews and sing hymns, you know. I was like, "Mom, why are we here? You're so boring." But, well, not in a loving way. But over the years, I've realized why God has kept me here, and I'm just really thankful that, you know, even though I wanted to see what South Hill was like and maybe stay there a couple of times, I think I've only been there once, and that was on like a Friday night or something. And, you know, I'm really glad I don't go to any church, because, you know, once again, it's not about the building, it's about the people. And the people that God has placed in this church are the only ones capable of doing what he has called us to do here. And yeah, so thank you.
Well, I want to thank everyone this morning for coming and sharing your stories, your memories. And I do encourage us, you know, to continue sharing these stories, continue to share these memories, because that's what will help you to keep the memories alive. And also, more importantly, it will help to strengthen your faith as well, remind you again of God's faithfulness in this place as he will continue and seek to be with us and be faithful with us in the new place. You know, I think what I love hearing about the stories is the heritage, the legacy. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had Pastor Joe come and share at the youth group meeting. And, you know, he was saying how, you know, a lot of our youth have all grown up in this church. They, you know, they are benefactors of this heritage, this Christian legacy. You know, some of us, you know, didn't grow up in a Christian home. And some of us don't have that legacy. And so then when we know it, you know, we just cherish it. And I think I challenge all of us here today. If you've been in this place, you've grown up in this place, let us not just be comfortable. Let us be willing to step out. Let us be willing to share that fruit, essentially, that good tasting fruit. You know, the message I had, and I say had because I had my notes with me last night. I do not have my notes with me this morning. Because when I left the house this morning, I left my notes on my laptop. So I had a message for us. And I think God has seen it fit that was not the message I should share with us today. But in there, I did talk about this idea of good fruit. You know, there's the fruit of the spirits that we know, that we read in Galatians, that each and every one of us here, as we seek to be more like Christ, as Christ lives in us, we have the fruits of the Spirit. We're asked to grow and to develop. But in that also, that we, as God's fruit, you know, everyone here who's grown up in this church or has found Christ here or has developed or gone deeper in their faith here, you know, you all have borne fruit. God has borne fruit in each and every one of you. And that fruit is not for your own eating, essentially. That fruit is to be given out, to be passed out, so that others can also taste this very good fruit that God has for them. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, said it in different ways. He used this particular text, and he called this ministers of reconciliation. And if you read, and if you've been following along in our book series here, How People Grow, the very beginning, in the introduction, I know most people skip the introduction, but if you read the introduction, he does talk about this idea of being ministers of reconciliation. And basically, what is he talking about? How do we get reconciled? You know, being reconciled to God is, yes, being back in God's presence by the fact that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for us, that we can then be reconciled to him. But it's more than that. It's about being reconciled to wholeness. It's being made full of life again, being made to be who you are, to live as who God created you to be. Why? Because verse 14 says this, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all. Therefore, all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." That's why. Because of God, because of Christ's sacrifice, one who died for all, that we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and was raised again. That one sentence is the gospel right there. And so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. And though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, this morning I was going to share with you the story of Jesus being anointed by the sinful woman. You can read this story in Luke chapter 7. And what's so interesting about this story is in that one little story, you get this story of redemption, the themes of redemption, the themes of grace, the themes of forgiveness. The stuff that Paul himself is talking about here. Read the story of a woman who is so distraught and yet so full of passion, and she comes and she sees Jesus because she's so just blown away by what he has done. You know, the commentators talk about how this woman that goes before him, that anoints him, is the same woman that Jesus saves from the stoning of the crowd. And what happens? She finds out where Jesus goes. Jesus goes to this Pharisee's house. His name is Simon. And they go there. She goes there. And this is what she does. She brings the most expensive perfume that she can afford. And she pours it over his feet. She wipes his feet with her hair. Why does she do that? You know, this is a woman where all her life she's been told she's been no good. And she's been told she's been no good by people like Simon, who are Pharisees, men and who have held up the law, who've held up the Bible and said, "These are God's religious standards. You must live by these standards. Because if you don't, then basically you're going to go to hell." So this woman has had this burden, this rock around her neck. And then Jesus comes. And Jesus reconciles her. He saves her. And then she comes and she seeks him. Because now she has not only seen the word that is the written word of the law, but she has seen the living word that is Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verse 1. the living word. You know, I love this text because it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's new creation, the old has gone, the new has come. This woman who was had a life once, living in sin, is now forgiven. She's a new creation. She's made new again. She's been restored. You know, Pacific Grace has had a long history. You know, we can say, yes, the old has gone, but it hasn't really gone. The life of Christ continues to live in us. And we're going to be going to do something new. Let us be able to be ministers of reconciliation. Let us be people who can restore the lost, the brokenhearted, the hurting. You know, in this story as well, it talks about how because she comes and she seeks his forgiveness, as I said, she's then restored. But then the funny thing is, Jesus used this story about the parable of the moneylender. And basically how there's these two guys, and they owe this moneylender money. One owes more than the other. They go to this moneylender and say, dude, we have no money. And the moneylender says, you know what, that's okay. Your debts are forgiven. Now, to the Pharisees, they go, you can't do that. When you have a debt, you have to repay it. Whether it be physical debt or spiritual debt, you have to repay it. But you're saying, no, you don't have to. And then Jesus questions the Pharisee and says, who do you think, is going to appreciate the money lender more? And the Pharisee says, the one who owed more. And the interesting thing about that statement is this. You know, when you look at the woman and you look at Simon, you know, both Simon and the woman both knew they had to be reconciled to God. They both knew they all had debts to pay. But Simon had this attitude of, I am pure, I am righteous, so I don't need Jesus. The woman took the attitude of, I am not righteous, I am not pure, I am sinful, I have more debt to pay. And so when Jesus forgave her, you know, it was just overwhelming to her that he would do that. And I wonder, when we come to Jesus, especially today as we come to take the communion today, well, do we come with the attitude of Simon, or do we come with the attitude of the woman? And it was a tough one for all of us to think about. But the interesting thing, and this is the part that I want to just bring us all together in this, it ties the story and this message together, is that in verse 21 it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, when we talk about, as I began this message, talking about the taste of fruit, the tasting, the good fruit, what does that look like? What exactly is that? And exactly is this, it's the righteousness of God. And what is the righteousness of God? That basically, our ways don't just become God's ways, our ways are God's ways. That so much, it's become so much a part of us. God's ways is not something that's been prescribed to us, but rather God's ways are things that we have adopted into our lives. And so all this talk about reconciliation, all this talk about forgiveness and grace and mercy, being called to be ministers of reconciliation and grace, what is it all for? It's all so that we can be made righteous. God desires each and every one of us to be righteous before Him and to be righteous before others, so that they themselves will also be made righteous before God. And so this morning, as we prepare to take the communion, and you know, this is a great thing. You know, the communion is a great family celebration. Yes, we understand that there is pain in the suffering, that there was a cost to the communion. There's a cost to what Jesus did. And we use the communion as a remembrance of what He did. But it's also a time that we as a family, that we as a body of believers, that we can once again come before God, be reconciled to Him, to again remember the calling and the reminder of the sacrifice that was made, but also the calling on our lives and the purpose to which we have been given, to be righteous before God, to be restored to righteousness, and to bring others into righteousness as well. So this morning, I'd like to invite the deacons to come forward as we as we partake of the elements. As we receive the elements this morning, give thanks to God as you reflect on the elements as you receive them. Think of what He has done for you in your life. Think about what He has done for us at Pacific Grace in this place. Give Him praise. Think of the sacrifice. Also, check our hearts today. Do we come before God with the attitude of Simon the Pharisee, or do we come to God in the attitude of the sinner, the woman who sinned? Let us be able to just reflect and just praise God. Because that's what communion is as well. It's a time to praise God. It's a tradition of our church that we invite baptized believers to join us in the taking of the elements. But today, if you yourself have also made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ but have not yet been baptized, we too invite you to join us in taking of the communion this morning. May those who wish and desire to take communion with us please rise.